morning. Today I will be reading Luke 3:21-22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from the heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
Morning. Happy Sabbath. I was expecting you guys to take more time. Just leave me 5 minutes to preach. Sounds easier. Yeah. By the way, last time I preached, Kevin almost had a heart attack, but he was okay today because I was on time. Last time it was 11:50 and I wasn't around, so he was almost freaking out. But I'm here today. Today's sermon is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are in our series of the 10 days praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I think we're doing a great job. This is the third sermon of this series, of these 10 that we're going to have. And we had a couple of good sermons about it. Rod preached about who the Holy Spirit is, and it was a really good sermon. I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot. It made me grow spiritually. And last week, Pastor Dan preached about what are Christians filled with the Holy Spirit like, right? And we have power when we pray for the Holy Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit in our life. Today, I want to sing a song in Spanish. The lyrics are going to be up there in English, so you can understand what I'm singing. And it's a song inviting the Holy Spirit to be in our lives, in our heart. And that's what I want, that we get concentrated and that we ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us as we study His Word, as we go through a scripture, and that He can talk to us, so we can understand what He has to say to us today. Thank you.
Espíritu de Dios. Ven y llena.
Let's pray. God, this morning, we come to you as your sons and daughters because we need you. We want to open your word, and we want you to guide us as we study and analyze the message you have for us. Please send your Holy Spirit to help us to keep concentrated, and please keep away any concern or worries or problem that may distract our attention, Lord. Please help us to hear your voice clearly. And personally, Lord, I pray that you put words in my mind, in my lips. Please speak through me and send your Holy Spirit. Use me as an instrument. And thank you for the opportunity of studying your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a very important question, and I want to hear answers this morning. What would you do if you were sure that right now you're filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're sure that right now the Holy Spirit is being poured out on you, what will be the first thing that you do?
Praise God.
Fall on your knees. Why will you fall on your knees?
Humility.
Acceptance. What else? What will you do if you receive the Holy Spirit in this instant, in this moment? You will share. Awesome.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. If we study Jesus' experience when he was baptized, the first thing Jesus did after receiving the Holy Spirit was what? He prayed. Why did Jesus pray after receiving the Holy Spirit? Because he was supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended. I mean, he was praying, and then he received the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, which was our scripture, says it clearly. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." So, what happened? Jesus heard that John the Baptist was preaching, and he was preaching about baptism for the Holy Spirit, for repentance of your sin. And, you know, he heard that he was preaching. He said, okay, I have to accept the call. I have to go and be baptized. And so he arrived there. And as soon as he gets there, John is looking at him. He's like, hey, aren't you my cousin? Aren't you the guy that was supposed to be the Messiah? I'm so glad I'm seeing you. And then Jesus said, yes, I am. Now I need you to baptize me. And he's like, wait, I can't do that. If you are the Messiah, I have to be baptized by you. So there's no way I can do that. Jesus, you have to baptize me because we have to fulfill what the writing says. So he goes into the water and he gets baptized and he starts praying after he comes out of the water. And while he's praying, then what happened? The heaven opens and then the Holy Spirit comes down in form of a dove, and then he hears the voice, and everyone who's in there hears the voice. This is my beloved Son. I am very, very pleased with you. What a wonderful experience. I mean, I wish that would have happened to me when I was baptized 18 years ago. But I didn't experience anything like that. I didn't hear any voice from heaven saying, "Hey, this is Eurydice. This is my son." I didn't see any dove coming from above. So does that mean that when we're baptized, we don't receive the Holy Spirit? It means that once we are baptized, once we say, okay, I repent for my sins, I accept Jesus in my life, and I'm getting baptized, we are receiving his forgiveness. But then we have to pray to be infilled with the Holy Spirit. And we often ask, well, so why did Jesus get baptized? Like, he didn't need to be baptized. He was the Son of God. He didn't have any sin.
It was
for our sins, and it was as an example of what we have to do, what we need to do as Christians. Now, after Jesus received the Holy Spirit, when he prayed, what happened? Satan got angry. And after he got baptized, he went to the desert, and he stayed there for how many days? 40 days. Fasting and praying. Because when Satan sees that we receive the Holy Spirit, he immediately starts attacking us. He knows that he loses power over us when we receive the Holy Spirit. And so he gets angry. And he got angry. And Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13, we see how Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the desert. And he overcame because he prayed and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 in Luke chapter 4 says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. 40 days without eating, man. I mean, I don't eat during the day. And in the afternoon, I'm dying. I can't imagine 40 days without praying, without eating anything, just praying. So Jesus was hungry. And then the enemy comes and says, you are hungry now. Now, if you are the Son of God, look, there's rocks there. You can make them bread and eat. You can eat them. If you are the Son of God. What was the trick in this temptation? If. He wanted to make Jesus doubt of what he was. He was the Son of God. He heard the voice when Jesus got baptized. "This is my Son, and I am very pleased with you." And he was like, "He is very pleased with you, and you are his son. Let's see if you, as a person, are sure of what you heard. If you are his son, then do that." But Jesus overcame temptation. Praise the Lord. What would have happened if Jesus failed in that moment? What would have happened if Jesus just failed? We'll be ruined, right? It wouldn't make sense for us to be Christians, because Jesus, who's our Savior, failed in temptation. But he overcame for you and for me as an example that when we have the Holy Spirit, God can do great things in our lives. And something that I was reading also is that the first temptation that Satan put to humanity was, to eat the fruit. that he was lying. He told Eve, you know, God said that you cannot eat from any of the trees, of the fruits in this garden. And he was lying. And he made her eat. So he came with the same temptation to Jesus. And, you know, you can make food from here. Eat. But Jesus said, when man fails, I stand. And he is standing for us this morning to help us overcome. We've been studying the book of the 10 days of the Holy Spirit. And I have a couple of quotes that I would love to share and study with you this morning. What is Satan's plan? Satan does not want you to understand or experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because, as I said before, he knows that he loses power over us when you receive the Holy Spirit. The great controversy says, since the ministry of the Holy Spirit is of vital importance to the Church of Christ, it is one of the devices of Satan, through the errors of extremists and fanatics, to cast contempt upon the work of the Spirit and cause the people of God to neglect this source of strength which our Lord himself has provided us. The power of the Holy Spirit is being provided for us, but we have to ask for it, and we have to be ready to receive it. Are we ready to receive the Holy Spirit this morning? I mean, we've been praying for, 3 weeks now after we started the triad groups? How many of you are part of a triad? Let me see your hands. So the church is praying. Praise the Lord. And if you see in the bulletin I was reading, there's, in this church, 7 men's triad groups, 9 women's triad groups, and 9 Pathfinders triad groups. So we are praying. And the Lord promised that when we ask for something, what he will do? We will receive if we ask. And we're asking for the Holy Spirit. So I'm pretty sure we already have received the Holy Spirit in this church. Praise the Lord. And Satan is angry. And he's attacking our families. And he's attacking our lives. We're dealing with depression. We're dealing with sicknesses, with illnesses. We're dealing with losing relatives. We're dealing with things because Satan is angry at us right now because we're praying. Because we have already received the Holy Spirit now. When Jesus received the Holy Spirit after he was baptized, he went praying during those 40 days and fasting. And after that, when he went out to do his ministry, he would pray for hours every morning to receive more of the Holy Spirit. Which means that once we receive the Holy Spirit, we have to keep daily asking the Lord to fill us again with his power and his love. Jesus' experience is an example for us to follow as Christians. We have to ask, we have to pray, and God promised that we will receive the Holy Spirit. So if we ask, God will give us his Holy Spirit. It has to be an experience. Something that we have to experience. There's a quote in the book that says, the Christian is first born of the Spirit and baptized. However, water baptism is only the beginning. The believer must also be baptized by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit baptism became available from the day of the Pentecost. Onward. So we already have the power of the Holy Spirit available for us. We just have to ask for it. Something else. There's a pastor who shared his experience, and he said, on one occasion I spoke with a Seventh-day pastor who described a unique experience of his own. One day he was in his garden working and reflecting on God's work. He stated to me that he heard a voice tell him, "Ask for my spirit." Right there, he offered a prayer to God, asking him for his spirit. He told me that at that moment, he felt a peace come over him as he had never before experienced. What a wonderful experience. I don't know how many times you have gotten on your knees, on your bedroom, with your doors closed, when no one is seeing you, to pray. And after your stand-up, you feel that peace that can come only from above. That's when we receive the Holy Spirit. So don't get discouraged. If we pray and we ask for the Holy Spirit, just as others have done before, we're going to receive it. And we're going to do great things. Another quote from Ellen White on the coming of the Comforter here says, "It is clear that she is," what word can I use? "It is clear that she understands the importance of us as Christians that we receive the Holy Spirit." She says, "What we need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without this, we are no more fitted to go forth to the world than were the disciples after the crucifixion of their Lord." And she prays, saying, "Impress upon all the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification of the church, so that they will be living, growing, fruit-bearing trees of the Lord's planting." That's her prayer. She was praying for us to be trees who would bear Jesus' fruits with the Holy Spirit. And I told my wife that I was going to borrow from another sermon, because she hears all my sermons. And it's from Ephesians chapter 3, when there are some steps that we, as Christians, can follow in order to be fulfilled with God's Spirit. So if we go to Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened through his Spirit in the inner man." What is Paul praying for? That we are strengthened with what? With the Holy Spirit. And he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So he explains that I'm praying that you can be strengthened with the Holy Spirit and that you can be completely filled with it. The question is, are we willing to receive the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit every day? Are we asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit every day on our knees? That's what we should be doing as Christians right now. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit does not necessarily involve a highly emotional experience. One may or may not feel something at the time of seeking the infilling of the Spirit. However, The Spirit will make himself known to the one he indwells. His presence will begin changing the believer's life from within. Once you start noticing that your spiritual life is improving, those are fruits. That tells you that the Holy Spirit is working in you. It's been working in you, in fact, since you accepted Jesus Christ and became a Christian. There's another story that I want to share. I'm going to read it. It says, it's from Catherine Marshall. Is the one who wrote the book, A Man Called Peter. I think, Max, you showed me that book last week, right? A Man Called Peter. And she says that she was praying for the Holy Spirit. Since at that time I had no group to lay hands on me, very quickly and undramatically, I asked for the gift of the Spirit. The setting of this happened in my bedroom, with no other human being present. I knew, too, that when we accept one of heaven's gifts like that, so quietly in the now, we cannot demand instantaneous proof that the Lord has heard and answered. For that, we'll be walking by sight, not by faith. I know that although I should not deny their validity, I should guard against demanding and highly emotional or dramatic experience as initial proof of my baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first day, nothing happened. I experienced no waves of liquid love or ecstatic joy, anything. But then in the next few days, quietly but surely, the heavenly guest made known his presence in my heart. Day by day came the evidence that after I had asked the helper to enter and take charge, he had done exactly that. Did he feel anything special when he prayed for it? Because we often think that when we pray for the Holy Spirit, we have to feel something. And we go to that sentimental part of being Christian, and we want to feel things. We can ask for the Holy Spirit and we won't probably feel anything at that moment. But the Lord will surely bless us with His Spirit and He will start working in our spiritual life. She continues her story and she says, the manifestation of His presence on which the Spirit places highest value is the power to witness the effectively to others of Jesus. Then He entered into my prayer life and began directing that. He became the major creative agent in my writing. In the months that followed that, indeed, on down the years, he would methodically bring one area of my life after another under his control. Health, finances, ambition, reputation. I soon realized that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not a one-time experience, but rather was a process that will continue throughout my entire life. Once we start praying for the Holy Spirit, we start a process. And in that process, we're going to grow. And when we start growing, then those fruits are going to be seen by our brothers and sisters in church, by our family, by our co-workers, our friends. Everyone will see that we are Christians. When Jesus went to be baptized by John, John was looking at him and John recognized him. Were they in touch at all? They weren't in touch. No. Jesus was from Nazareth, and John was from the desert, near to the Jordan. So they were not in touch. But when Jesus got there, and John saw him, even when he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, according to the text, because he received the Holy Spirit after he was baptized, he recognized him because he saw in him the resemblance of God. That peace that we show when we have the Holy Spirit, that's what John saw in Jesus when he went to be baptized. So something that we learn is that when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's not an experience that happened just once. It happened, and it's not going to happen evermore. It's something that happened when? Every day of our Christian life. There's a quote that says, Paul tells us that inward man is renewed day by day. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We need the renewing of the Spirit every day of our lives. Also, Paul's command to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 3, is a continuous action bear. That means that something has to happen continuously. So when we pray for the Holy Spirit, we're not saying, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit now, because now I'm doing this, and then after I'm done with that, I don't need it anymore, and I'll pray and I'll ask for it when I need it again. We have to pray every day so we continuously receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life as Christians. We must experience the early rain in order to receive the latter rain of the Spirit. It is time for the latter rain to fall. If we do not experience the infilling of the Spirit, which is the early rain, according to Joel chapter 2, verse 23, that promise that we have there, we will not be prepared to receive and participate in the work of the latter rain. I believe God is moving among his people today and leading them into his wonderful experience. Ellen White gave a very important and balanced counsel in the following statement regarding this work. And let's read what she says. As long as individuals are content with a theory of truth and are yet lacking in the daily operation of the Spirit of God upon the heart, which is manifested in outward transformation of character, they are cutting themselves off from the qualification that will fit them for greater efficiency in the Master's work. Those who are devoid of the Holy Spirit cannot be faithful watchmen upon the walls of Zion, for they are blind to the work that ought to be done and do not give the trumpet a certain sound. So if we don't ask, if we don't fall on our knees every day, we're probably closing our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's basically what she's saying. And that preparation is necessary in order to be ready for Jesus' second coming. If we are not praying on our knees, if we're not studying our Bible, if we're not preaching the gospel, if we don't have those fruits that the Holy Spirit put on us when we're Christians, it's probably that we're not ready for Jesus' second coming. In order to be ready for Christ's second coming, we must daily experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When do we have to experience that? Daily, again. Christ lives in us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This experience will lead us to become just like Jesus in our life and service for him. How can we overcome temptation? How can we hear that voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved son, and I am very pleased with you? How can we be successful in our Christian lives? Praying every day and asking for God to pour out on us the Holy Spirit. And it's my prayer today that we fall on our knees every day and ask, not just for the Holy Spirit, for a double portion of the Holy Spirit, so we can be filled and filled again and filled again, and the next day and every day until Jesus comes. I hope the Holy Spirit can strengthen us and we can be ready for Jesus' second coming. God bless you.
Turn in your hymnals to 262. And please stand and sing with me.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each
announcement. The committee was just this morning. Please stay after the service for a few minutes. So, for a short meeting. Let's pray. Dear Father, this time we come to you in prayer because we want to have a closer relationship with you, Lord. As a church, we want to receive your Holy Spirit. We just studied your word and we heard your voice, Lord, and we are willing to receive and to be baptized by your Spirit right now. Please help us to receive you in our hearts. Bless every brother and sister here this morning that we can experience that baptism and that we can be sure that you are walking with us, Lord. Please help us to be ready for your second coming and be in our hearts, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit so our souls can be ready for you. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.